Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on Twitch. Check it out at twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. That'd be youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. Or check it out on Rumble. Just go there and search for Relentless Daring or The Tyler Morgan Show. It will pop up. Or maybe you're listening to this on a podcast. Again, if you're listening to this on podcast, thank you so very much for being subscribed. If you're not subscribed, please hit the subscribe or follow or whatever button your podcast platform happens to use. So, getting into all the crazy this week, it's going to be mostly centered on A lot of lefty upset over Supreme Court decisions. But before I get there, let me tell you about a product I've been really getting into over the past couple months, and that would be beard oil. Not just any beard oil, though, but beard oil from Blue Collar Beardsman. Blue Collar Beardsman provides a very nice selection of standard scents. If you're watching this on the video, you can see it over there. I'm trying to figure out how I need to do my hand because everything's backwards to me in the screen. They have so many great scents that are available on the regular. I am a huge fan of the Smoke Break. That would be the one farthest to the left side of your screen. Because that one's got some really good tobacco scents. It doesn't smell like an ashtray. Just, you know, good, rich tobacco aromas. You can also sign up for their monthly subscription where you get a special limited release scent every month. This month they are celebrating HVAC Technician, and that's got some really good kind of orange creamsicle. You have the vanilla ice cream, the orange, it just blends really well. It's got a little bit of hints of the lemon lime soda flavor to it. Scent to it as well. Check it out. These are handcrafted beard oils made by a small business here in Missouri, and you can get shipping across the country. And it's just, you're supporting a small business that is, you know, knows all about hard work. The owner of Blue Collar Beardsman also has his own HVAC company, which is kind of why they went for that HVAC technician theme for this month. But there's so many good scents to try. If you're kind of a cologne guy, they have one that leads more to cologne. If you're like lemon lime soda, The Apprentice is a great scent for you. If you like the kind of talcumy smell of a barbershop, they have that barbershop as well. They also have just a plain beard oil if you don't want to, you know, have, you know, when you hit the wrong button to turn off the graphic. If you just want a beard oil, you know, don't want to smell it all day, or maybe you spend a lot of time in the woods, you don't want to, you know, tip off that you're being out there with the scent of your beard oil, they have an unscented one as well. So check out their selection. And again, I highly recommend signing up for the subscription and getting the, you know, that way you get that scent of the month every month when it comes out. Excellent, excellent product. Check them out, bluecollarbeardsman.com. All right, so, like I said, this has been a crazy week with, this is the week that all of the Supreme Court decisions have been coming out. You know, kind of like last year, they had all kinds of big decisions. They had, you know, the Kennedy case that came out where, you know, high school football coach who'd been fired for praying on the 50-yard line. You know, the Supreme Court last year ruled that, hey, you can, as a public employee, practice your faith in public, whether it's praying on the 50-yard line after a game, whether it's saying grace over your meal if you're in a school cafeteria, you know, all this stuff. So that was a good one. And this year, they have yet again reaffirmed that if you are a Christian, you cannot be forced into going against your conscience to provide a service or a good for something that you do not agree with based on your religious preferences. In this case, it was a website designer who would make wedding websites for clients. And the Supreme Court came out and said, no, you cannot force them to do that. You are violating their personal religious beliefs. And, you know, it's more bake the cake, bigot stuff, where you, as a contractor, apparently shouldn't have the right to determine who your clients are. You shouldn't be able to say, yeah, you know what? I really don't agree with that, so I'm not going to participate. And so much happens where forced participation is the thing. And we've been seeing that. You know, when schools are using, you know, your students, your children, to push an agenda on because, hey, they're here, might as well take advantage of it. I mean, that's kind of a problem, but fortunately, we do have recourse in that. You can always take your kids out of school and become a homeschool parent. And I know that's something that's difficult for a lot of people, you know, because of bills, we can't have one parent who takes off to, you know, do the homeschooling. Our kids are too young to be able to lead them by themselves. And then we do the homeschooling in the evening, you know, and those are understandable complaints, but again, it is a method of recourse. But when it comes to this whole idea that if you are a Muslim and somebody comes in requesting that you do something that is 100%, you know, antithetical to the Muslim faith, well, they have to do it. You know, if neo-Nazi goes to a Jewish bakery and, you know, and they're Orthodox Jews and they plainly, you know, practice it's their faith. They're not just, I'm Jewish and, you know, ethnicity, but they're actually practicing religious Jews. You know, neo-Nazi goes in, you can't ask them to, and you ask them to make a, you know, an anti-Semitic cake, should they be forced to go against their beliefs, against their heritage, and make a anti-Semitic cake? Should I be able to force a Muslim baker to bake me a cake with a depiction of Muhammad on the cake? Yet for some reason, this isn't being viewed through the lens of all religions, all, you know, participating members of every religious group being protected from doing these forced labor. It's only being viewed as, oh, our Christians are being bigots, are being homophobes, ah. And it's been insane watching people online just lose their absolute marbles over it. Well, I would never. I wouldn't go have a get cupcakes made by a homophobic baker, blah, blah, blah. Well, and here's the thing. What is really being missed out on, it's not they're denying all service to, you know, to homosexuals. Or as what's going on with the Denver baker, where these are clients that he'd had for years. They're getting married. They ask him to make a cake. And they've been buying stuff from him, like I said, for years. And he said, guys, I will sell you anything that you want in the store. But when it comes to, you know, my cakes are an art. They are, you know, an expression of my belief in what God says marriage is. And I cannot, in good conscience, bake your cake. Here's this baker down the street. Here's this baker across town. Here's this baker. They all do amazing work. Please take your money to them because they will make the cake for you, but I can't do it. So when Jack Phillips, you know, offered alternatives, you know, he was obviously the bad guy. But like I said, in this case in, I don't remember where it's out of, but this web designer, I will build a web design for X, Y, and Z, but I cannot build a website for a gay marriage because that goes against my faith. It's a, yep. It's a matter of artistic expression. Now, again, if she was just saying, oh, I'm not going to do this, you know, business website for you because you're gay. I'm not going to do this for you because you're gay. Okay, that's one thing. You know, that's obviously the homophobia they're all worried about. But when you're distinctly asking someone to violate their religious beliefs, oh, Tyler, you're a Christian. You went to Afghanistan as an infantryman. What about thou shalt not kill? Well, first of all, slow your roll, because yes, pardon me, I am a Christian, and as an infantryman, I did go to Afghanistan and engage in combat where enemy combatants lost their lives. But specifically, the Jewish word that is translated as kill is more accurately translated as murder. There is such thing as a righteous kill. Now, if I was wanting to serve my country, and as a conscientious objector, I refuse to pick up a gun, yes, I'm referencing Hacksaw Ridge, because one of the greatest war heroes of World War II was an Army medic who said, no, I will not pick up a weapon, but I still want to serve my country. That took balls. Going into that environment and refusing to take up a weapon. There are ways to, you know, be able to do things without violating your conscience. Now, the whole idea that you as a small business owner, you are basically a contractor when it comes to doing web design, when it comes to making flower arrangements, when it comes to baking cakes. So, as a contractor, you reserve the right to pick and choose your clients. If I did, tree work, if I was an arborist, to be use the fancy word for it, And someone said, hey, we want you to take down this tree. And I look around and I feel that I don't have the skills to safely take that tree down because there's power lines. It's old. It's leaning towards a home. I have the right to go, you know, I just don't think I can do this job. So many other examples you can use of a contractor. Contractors can pick and choose. Just because someone comes to you as a contractor and says, here's the job, how much will it cost me? I don't have to say yes. And it can be for any reason. Now, don't get me wrong. If I'm doing it for any reason that is motivated by hate and bigotry, then by all means, I deserve for that potential client to go out and tell everybody in the world, he's an a-hole, he wouldn't do this job for me because I am a transsexual pansexual lizard person. Well, shoot, we don't want someone who hates pansexual trans lizard people doing tree jobs around our community, so we ain't going to hire it. Okay, I would be willing to allow that recourse. Maybe no one else will hire me, but there will be someone who will. And when a person is saying, hey, you know what? For X, Y, and Z reasons, I cannot do this. It has nothing to do with you. I will do any business you want from me. I will bake you brownies. I will make you a generic cake. I will make cookies. But I cannot do a wedding cake because of my beliefs. That is not being a bigot. That is not being, oh my God, he just hates the gays. No, it's none of that. What I find hilarious, was it 19, 20 years ago, Kevin Smith, he released his first movie. It was called Clerks. I'm a huge fan of this movie. And I'm a huge fan of the Askewniverse. But Kevin Smith made a really great point all those years ago. And it's very applicable to this Supreme Court ruling and the left freaking out about it. If you haven't seen the movie, it is definitely a cult classic. So you have the main characters, Dante and Randall, they're arguing over the ending of Return of the Jedi. You have the Death Star that's being built, and you know, the rebels come in, they destroy the Death Star, and Randall points out that with the fact that it's still under construction, it has contractors. And he thinks it's a horrible ending because these contractors are innocent victims of a war they didn't ask for. There's a customer in the store who overhears the conversation. He kind of inserts himself, and he points out that he's a roofer. And he brings up a job that he had been offered 3 weeks earlier. He turned down the job because of who the client was. The client was a member of the mob. He turned the job over to his friend. You know, and even though the money was good, he's like, if you can get this job done in a day, you know, we'll double what you quoted us. His friend takes the job. His friend got killed when a hit was put on that house. And the roofer points out quite succinctly that his personal politics, knowing who the client was, knowing the risk associated with that client, he turned down the job. Now, similarly, again, why can't a web designer go, you know what, because of my beliefs, and I'm very public about my beliefs, people know where I stand. I cannot do this. Sure, there's no risk of being, you know, collateral damage in a mob hit like the movie reference. But there's also the credibility hit. Wait, if I thought this is what you believed and you did the opposite? Because as much as people want to gripe and moan that, you know, you should be free to live your life, why should others be able to put you in a position where you have to go against what you believe? Whether, you know, it's someone who is a strong conservative being told you have to do X, Y, and Z for this liberal view. You know, the Joe Biden campaign wants you to do your social media influence work for the upcoming election. It's like, have you seen what my content is? Because I don't think it aligns with doing stuff for Joe Biden or the Democrats. Should I be forced into making that content because they ask me to? I wouldn't think so. So again, this is definitely a win for religious liberty. And, you know, like I said, if the people refusing any and all service to anyone who is homosexual, then yeah, they deserve to kind of get slammed. And now you're seeing people posting on Twitter and other social media outlets that they're refusing to serve a Christian. If you come in wearing a Jesus Loves Me shirt, you will not be welcome here. You will not be served here. Okay, now that's being openly bigoted. They're not asking you to go against your beliefs, whatever they may be. They're not in there saying, not in there asking you to design a cake that says, Jesus saves and God is going to condemn all to hell. They're not asking that. If you walk into a bakery with a Jesus Loves You shirt on, you just want to pick up a dozen donuts or a box of cookies for the, you know, for the kids out in the car, denying them service just because of a shirt they have on, that is where you're going beyond being asked to go against your religious beliefs and you're just being an a-hole. They start making commentary on how,
like 90% of hairdressers and stylists are gay men. So what they should do is just refuse to serve anyone who walks in who is obviously a conservative or is obviously Christian. It's like, okay, they can do that. Guess what? There's a barber down the street who will cut my hair for half the price and will probably do a better job. The people have just been freaking out so, so badly on it. It's been kind of hilarious to watch. Almost as hilarious as the Supreme Court's ruling on affirmative action in higher education.
Oh my God, without affirmative action, how are blacks going to get into schools? Oh, this is white supremacy.
When all actuality, what they missed in the case that was filed on behalf of Asians. Last time I checked, Asians aren't white. They're another minority. And they're a smaller minority than African Americans in the United States. Oh my gosh, I just said the quiet part out loud. So affirmative action has gone from an okay idea. And I say okay idea because anytime where you're compelling the, you know, hiring or school admittance strictly based on race. Yeah, that's where I kind of have an issue. Now, if it was okay, well, you have two extremely qualified people applying for this school. There is one seat left. They have the exact same entrance exam scores, the exact same educational background. But then it comes down to, okay, we're going to do an essay between these two. And you have one person who is kind of milquetoast and boring and, yeah, the same old college applicant. And then you have, a person of color. Let's use their buzzwords. Someone who, in their essay, it's like, I'm the first person in my family to graduate from high school. I was pushed to be successful by parents who grew up impoverished. I have these aspirations that I can move beyond the cycle of poverty that my family's been stuck in for all these generations. And you just go, damn, that's who I want. I would pick that person over the kind of milquetoast white kid who's, a legacy applicant. My father went to this school. My father's father went to this school. My father's father's father founded this school. I think schools should want to be admitting the best of the best. Who is going to graduate from this institution, go out into the world, and be a credit on the institution itself? It should be 100% based on merit. The whole idea of quotas. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're meeting quotas because affirmative action says we have to admit such percentage as only black. Okay, if you're meeting your quotas, are all of them at least, looking like top of their field, potentially? Are they all, more than deserving of getting into the school? Or are you looking at it going, he's black, he's in. What were his grades in high school? Who cares, he's black. Well, we have to admit this many Hispanic kids. Oh, this person looks like they came across the border last week. They don't speak any English, but they applied. Let them in. So if you want to have quotas, okay, that's not great. But in the admittance process, can we at least have that be merit-based? But no. All of this, the whole dealing away with, affirmative action in higher education, it's white supremacy. And watching some of the people come out who, they got to where they are through blood, sweat, and tears. And then, oh, this is just awful. Black people can't do this. Black people, well, they need the affirmative action because they just can't do it on their own. Wow. Bigotry of low expectations much? This whole idea that blacks, Hispanics, Asians, that they need a government program to survive, that they need some bleeding heart whitey to be their white knight and their white savior. And by God, I feel so good about myself because I helped this poor black kid get to where he needs to be, and he couldn't have done it without me. I'm sorry. That is kind of racist. There's a, I don't know what she would qualify. Her name is Erica Marsh. She is on Twitter, and it's basically that exact thing, that I am the well-heeled, very sophisticated white girl, and it's obvious that black people, they just can't do it on their own. It's like, I hate to say this, Erica, but everything that just came out of that tweet was racist trash. It's the exact same kind of leanings that led Margaret Sanger to believe that she needed to use Planned Parenthood to eliminate the human weeds, which is what she determined, you know, blacks to be. Don't tell Planned Parenthood they're based on racism. They don't like it. Just the entire idea that an entire race of people are incapable of performing with great educational achievement, that they can't get into these colleges on their own. Well, many of them come from poor neighborhoods. They can't afford the tutors and, you know, or the legacy, or people who get in because of donations to the school. Yeah, when you say that they can't accomplish something, you're a racist. All right, I'll take a quick break, and I will be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm just having a heck of a time hitting buttons on the keyboard to make it do what I want to do. Anyways, getting back into things, for those of you who are listening on podcast, I may have hit the button to go to the starting soon screen versus the actual video. So, yeah, I do weird things. It's later in the evening. It's been a long day. Ugh. But anywho's, before I get into it, we all know what my favorite beverage is. I know you see all that glorious whiskey up there on the shelf behind me if you're watching this on video. But really, if there's one beverage that really gets me going in the mornings. It definitely ain't whiskey. It is coffee, and only the finest coffee. And for the finest coffee, I go to American Pride Roasters. American Pride Roasters is, again, a small business out of Runnels, Iowa. It is owned by Dave Matthews and his wife, Faith, and they get some of the finest coffee in the world, roast it, and ship it out to you as soon as possible. Now, they have so many great flavors. I am a huge fan of the unflavored coffees. Just, you're just getting the taste of the roasted beans. That's what I like. And there's so many of them. The Teddy Roosevelt, the Calvin Coolidge, the Thomas Paine. And Thomas Paine, you can get one of two on Thomas Paine. You can either get the standard Thomas Paine, or when you're filling out your order, there's a little checkbox. You click it to abandon common sense, and you go with the Age of Reason. The Age of Reason is 100% Robusta beans. That gives a little bit more of a caffeine kick than the standard counterpart. That's my favorite. Go, you select your coffee, select how you want it ground up. Now, me, I'm more of a medium grind person. Maybe you do the cold brew coffee in the fridge. So maybe you want a coarser grind since it's going to be sitting in the water longer. Maybe you have an espresso machine. You want that really good fine grind to really get packed in so you get the perfect crema with your coffee. Whatever it is, check it out. Check out their other flavored coffees. They got some great ones. The Hamilton Burr. That's kind of like a blueberry donut flavor coffee, kind of a dessert coffee. Check them out. See what they have that would really kind of pique your curiosity and wanting to try something different. That's so you go to APR Coffee, and the special instructions on the order, tell them you heard about from the Tyler Morgan Show. So much good coffee out there. Maybe you want something a little different, a little sweet pick-me-up. The coffee drops. I didn't mention those yet. The coffee drops. Ah, chef's kiss. Delicious. Check them out. APRcoffee.com. Historically, great coffee. All right, so going back into all of this with the craziness out of trying to do away with affirmative action in higher education. It's at least good to know that there are still schools who are willing to go out of their way to buck the Supreme Court. This is from American Thinker. Harvard vows to preserve our essential values following landmark SCOTUS ruling. It's not quite as dramatic as George Wallace standing in a schoolhouse doorway 60 years and 19 days ago trying to block the enrollment of the first two blacks at the University of Alabama. But the incoming president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, is almost as defiant in a video released in reaction to a federal demand that her institution stop discriminating on the basis of race. Albeit subtler, wordier manner, couched in terms of regret, resolve, and compassion. Harvard will find a way around the ruling, rest assured. Harvard's official newspaper, the Harvard Gazette, was less subtle in its headline. Harvard united in resolve and face the Supreme Court's admissions ruling. This defiant language means that Asian students will continue to be rejected with far greater qualifications than those required for black and Hispanic students to be admitted, so that Harvard can claim to be diverse with a critical mass of blacks while the number of Asians admitted to its undergrad programs can continue to be curtailed below what a race-blind meritocratic system based heavily on impartial academic achievement metrics would yield. But don't worry. Harvard and most other highly competitive schools have eliminated the SAT and/or ACT achievement tests, so there won't be any metrics they can demonstrate that can demonstrate discrimination. There will be no doubt the lawsuits ahead, but they will have a hard time demonstrating discrimination absent a metric comparing the academic skills of all students applying. President-designate Gay's 1 minute, 42 second video responding to the decision is worth watching for two particular moments. One is where she lays out the case that racial discrimination yields academic excellence. A thriving and diverse intellectual community is essential to academic excellence and critical to shaping the next generation of leaders. The other is where she offers comfort to the affirmative action students at Harvard who must be facing the psychological stress of knowing they were admitted under easier standards than those applied to others. To our current students, you make excellence possible and you belong at Harvard. Never doubt that. Except for David Hogg, I don't even know why he was admitted other than, you know, the political virtue signaling.
Oh, he survived a mass shooting. And he hates guns, so we need to let him in.
If you ever read any of his tweets, you realize that boy can't write for crap. Capitalization, what is that? Punctuation marks, never heard of them. As Harvard's first black president, Dr. Gay's sigh may have extra meaning. I have to wonder if she was chosen to break the glass ceiling in the expectation that the Supreme Court would hand down the very ruling she faces now. And like I said, there's going to be other schools that will go out of their way to demonstrate how great they are. Because, well, these people, they just can't make it on their own. One of the people commenting on the ruling was Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama, he didn't necessarily benefit from, you know, being let in because he was biracial. When he went to college, that's where his mom went to college. He's kind of what they call a legacy admission. Not to mention, he probably had great letters of recommendation from leftist professors. So getting into school probably wasn't that difficult. But he was playing it up that without the advantages offered by affirmative action in higher education, it made it sound like he wouldn't have even gotten in. Well, that's just simply not true. And also seeing some of the people attacking Clarence Thomas. Oh my God, you want to see the racism come out on the left? Mention Clarence Thomas. They cannot stand him because he doesn't fit what they've decided the mold for a black voter should be. I mean, the man grew up dirt poor. He's probably poorer than dirt poor, if that's even possible. He was literally the first person in his family to even go to college. And when he went to college, he was very, very liberal. And then in college, he discovered Thomas Sowell and others who got him to change his thinking because they made the cogent arguments that his kind of left-wing ideology was wrong. And people saying, oh, he only went to college, he only got into school because of this. Well, I went back and I kind of figured out the timeline. By the time he graduated from high school and then he left, you know, came here to Missouri to attend seminary because he wanted to be a Catholic priest. And then he dropped out because he decided the priesthood was not for him. So then he went on to a different college. And he was admitted way back before affirmative action in higher education. He was recommended another Catholic school, by the seminary when he decided he was going to drop out. They said, well, we recommend you go to this college. And he was literally the first black student admitted to this college. And there he started the Black Student Union, and he faced legit discrimination from students, from staff. But he persevered. And from there, he went to Yale Law. Ivy League. And so by the time, he completed, his short run at seminary, his undergrad, and then law school, he would have graduated, 1973, 1974, almost 5 years ahead of affirmative action in higher education being passed as law. So you're going to say this man was a diversity admittance, that the schools were forced to allow him. That when he went to, came back to Missouri as the assistant attorney general, he got that job because,
they sought him out and they hand selected him because he was, affirmative action hire.
Well, I don't think that's how that would have worked if he was hand-selected by Attorney General Danforth. And if you work for the Attorney General, I'm pretty sure that's a heck of a resume, resume builder when he left the Assistant Attorney General gig to work at Monsanto. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff to be said about Monsanto and some of the Supreme Court's rulings in their favor. Okay. But you don't get one of these giant corporate law gigs if you're just a schmo on the street. You don't get selected to become a federal judge by being a schmo. You don't get appointed to the Supreme Court because, we got to hire a black guy. He applied, we'll go with him. It's just been absolutely insane, the response, especially going after Clarence Thomas. And I get it, the left does not like Clarence Thomas in years. All the way back in, 1991, when George H.W. Bush, tapped him to become the, to sit on the Supreme Court. This was after, I don't remember if it was after or before, Bork, but still, it was just not good. Now, I can't speak to the Anita Hill,
he put pubic hairs on my soda, it was awful.
I can't speak to that because, honestly, there's so much conjecture. There's no actual proof it happened other than she said it did and he said it didn't. That's all that ever boiled down to was he said, she said. But the attacks on this man, many of them very racist attacks from the left, the wonderful, wonderful party of tolerance and inclusion, has just been astounding. And then I think one of the other big ones is, one of the other big cases that came out was, Native American water rights for the Navajo. Oh, just a rundown on that one. Basically, the Supreme Court said, well, okay, the Navajo Reservation wanted the U.S. government to basically do the legwork on drilling wells. They wanted the U.S. government to pay for pumping stations, to pay for irrigation canals, to, you know, to access the water that, per the treaty, the Navajos have the rights to the groundwater. And granted, there were other states that were trying to block them from having access to the Colorado River because they also depend on water from the Colorado River. Okay, well, you know, according to the treaty, no, those states really can't come in and do it because the federal government said, no, they have rights. You can use the water, but, you know, they have the rights to it. You can't block them from being able to use their water. But basically the court ruled, the treaty says you have rights to the water. It doesn't say the federal government has to do everything for you. So basically, Navajo Nation, raise the funds and pay for the work. But that's being spun to, oh my goodness, that's awful. They can't even have water rights on the reservation. No. Stop oversimplifying what the ruling was. And actually read the ruling. Yes, you have the water rights. No, the government does not have to provide everything to get that water to you. You know, basically, this is what the treaty says. We're going to enforce the treaty. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to get ready to shut down. And because this is the... pardon me. That whiskey kind of hit a little rough. Because this is the Saturday before the 4th of July, I've got a little something queued up here. I'm going to play on the outro. So before I get into it, again, no typical closeout stuff. Thank you for watching. If you're watching this on, you know, live, you're watching this on the replay on YouTube or on Rumble, thank you for listening to this. If you're listening to it on podcast, remember, same four things I ask every week if you are a podcast listener. Number one, please hit the like, subscribe, follow button, whatever it has on your platform of choice. Unfortunately, Stitcher, if you're a listener on Stitcher, you will have to find somewhere else to listen because Stitcher is going to be going away shortly. Here in the next few weeks, I'm leaving Stitcher for any particular reason. Stitcher is just, we're done. I think everything will be transferring over to Pandora, which fortunately I'm already on Pandora, so check me out there. So yeah, whatever your platform is, follow, subscribe, whatever. Once you've done that, please rate the show. 5 stars, all except 4. 3 and below, we need to have a conversation. Once you have given me a rating, please review the show. Say something nice. If there's ways you think it could be better, say how you think it could be better in the comments. If you are a jerk, believe me, I won't go out of my way to hide your review. In fact, I'll probably amplify it and use it to make fun of you because that's what I do. So again, thank you for... Oh, and then the fourth thing, please share this episode. Share the show in general. The show links for whatever the platform you listen to it on, watch it on, you know, all that helps to grow the show. Bigger audience means hopefully more money coming in. And speaking of money, if you want to support the show, be sure to go to patreon.com. There's a link in the show notes. So go to Patreon. You know, you can probably just go search Tyler Morgan Show there. Sign up as a patron, and then, you know, for as low as $5 a month, you get early access to any kind of interviews I'm able to get done. You get, the ad-free episodes, minus the live ones I do. Yeah, those will still be there. Sorry. But as opposed to the podcast platforms or even watching on YouTube or Rumble where you click play and then you get an ad before it or maybe in the middle of it, you don't get that. So for $5 a month, that definitely helps out. But again, thank you so very much for listening. Also, if you're on the YouTubes or Rumbles, please hit the subscribe and hit the bell for notifications whenever a new episode posts or if I have the opportunity to make bonus content. So again, thank you so very much for listening. And as always, stay relentless. Now, again, it is the 4th of July weekend, so special closeout for you. Apparently, okay, I was going to have a special closeout. Apparently, I don't know what that was, but someone has probably been messing with my board. It was probably me, and I didn't update whatever it was I had on that square. So, again, I apologize. I was going to close out with the Declaration of Independence. I used to have a really nice one all queued up, ready to go. Apparently, I was playing with my stuff again. Boy, do I feel silly. Well, I apologize for that goofy little sound intro there. My bad. Again, thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.